And everybody just clap your hands. I'm fly girls, clap your hands. I'm fly guys, clap your hands.
Well, if you're feeling all right and you think you're on,
somebody let me know.
Well, everybody in the place, put a whistle in your face.
Scream it out and say, no, hey.
You don't stop, all right, the rhythm that makes you faint. I said, hip-hop, and thanks a lot. Come on, everybody, give me what you got.
I'm gonna tell you a little story about the Sugar Hill Gang.
With the pow-pow boogie and a big bang-bang.
And if you wanna rap to the Sugar Hill beat,
gotta rap in the key of R-A-B. Now that is over, I'm ready to jam.
Yeah.
Want all you people to clap your hands. Tonight we're gonna scream and shout. We're gonna turn this mother sucker out. To all of you people that are ready to jam, scream it out and say, I am.
I am somebody. Oh, I had to let that rock out, man. That's the Sugar Hill Gang. Had to play that in remembrance of Big Bang Hank from the Sugar Hill Gang. Big Bang Hank died a couple of days ago. Big Bang Hank from the legendary group, the Sugar Hill Gang, he died. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But before I do that, today's show, this is the Tariq Elite Show, by the way, everybody. My name is Tariq Elite, also known as Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Today's show, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by STDHomeTestKit.com. Don't walk around burning, ladies and gentlemen. You're out here, you're turning up, but you're burning up. So go and get your STD Home Test Kit right now at STDHomeTestKit.com. Also, get your hair game together, ladies. Go to norhair.com. That's N-O-I-R-E, hair.com. Use the coupon code Tariq and get 7% off on your purchases on that site. They got Brazilian hair, Malaysian hair, all types of hair you want, edge control stuff, anything you need to get your dome straight, ladies and gentlemen. Also, check out Indiegogo's page. Indiegogo, that's the crowdfunding site. There's some brothers that created this new Black Hawk smartwatch, and this smartwatch can make phone calls, it can start car engines. This smartwatch is on top of it. You guys need to go check that out. You can purchase the smartwatch on Indiegogo when you make a contribution to the crowdfunding of it. So that's at Indiegogo.com. Look for Black Hawk RES smartwatch, ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. But like I said, let me play some of the OG Sugar Hill Gang. Some of this, what everybody should remember right here. This was the first big pop rap record right here. And Big Bang Hank of the legendary group Sugar Hill Gang, this brother died, I think he was 57 years old. And this record right here, man, this kicked the game off as far as hip-hop on a worldwide global scale. And a lot of people, man, don't really show too much respect to the Sugar Hill Gang because they were not considered at that time a legitimate group. Back in the late 70s when this song came out, which was 1979, the rap game, it had its own set of rules. And it was really all about authenticity. And there were these unwritten rules that brothers in the game had. And one rule is that you're not supposed to be a biter. You got to have street cred. You got to have cred amongst your peers. And the Sugar Hill Gang were put together by some R&B music execs. So they didn't rock the parks and rock the parties like some of the other old school crews. So when they came out of nowhere with this song, which was a hot song, and it was a much needed song, the hip hop purists, a lot of them weren't feeling it because they know Hank, and Hank is the one rapping now. Hank was using lyrics from Grandmaster Caz, and people should know the legendary story behind that. Big Bang Hank was using lyrics from Grandmaster Caz, and some people said he got permission from Caz to do it. Some people said he didn't, so there was this whole big thing. But it was one thing for sure, Caz wrote these lyrics. That is never in question. Grandmaster Caz, who's still around today, he wrote these lyrics. And he didn't get the credit for these lyrics. And Big Bang Hank, he's been touring around the world. He was touring around the world on this one song, basically, for years. But it was very important that this record came out. And it was very important that the people who made it made this record. Because the thing is, you got to understand, when hip-hop came out at that time, it was a real street thing. You had people, hip-hop was really gully. So it had to be presented to the world a certain way. And at the time, disco was coming, out of popularity. and you had a lot of R&B DJs back in the 1970s. They kind of had that disco sound to their voices, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of rappers who were trying to cross over had that sound. Because on the streets, rap dudes was flowing. But these guys, if you listen to the Sugar Hill Gang, it was like, well, I'm walking to the beat in stereo. That's that Frankie Crocker 1970 disco R&B DJ sound. And the R&B DJs loved that sound, and they were used to that sound, and that's why they put it on the airwaves, and that's why the song took off. So the fact that these guys weren't as authentic as some of the other hip-hop purists, that kind of worked for the situation. So we have to give props and respect to the Sugar Hill Gang and Grandmaster Kaz also, and also Big Bang Hank. We have to give respect. I say all that to say that. We got to give respect to Big Bang Hank and the Sugar Hill Gang, because they brought some real tangible things to the game, and this record was very important. So we shouldn't dismiss those brothers because they were not what was considered purist. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Man, I got a lot of stuff to talk about today, and we're going to take some phone calls on today's show. And we're going to take a lot of calls. I haven't taken a lot of calls in a minute. Let's see who's on the phone right now. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up? It's Paul from Chicago, the truck driver.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, fam?
I'm all right, man. Thanks for all your knowledge and everything you have. You know, just thanks for helping us, man.
Man,
really appreciate everything.
Much respect. Anything on your mind? You have any questions for tonight?
Man, how not to be a simp, man. And you can just hit me with that. Get out of here, nigga. And God is good.
Yes, indeed, man. Thanks for the call, fam.
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed. Let's get another call and see who we got on the phone lines. What's up? Who's calling? Hello?
Hello? Hey.
What's up, fam?
Hello? How you doing? This is Russell from Durham, North Carolina.
Russell from Durham. What's on your mind, Russell?
Good. I got a quick question and one comment.
Go ahead.
I'm sort of stuck in between I'm in graduate school, but next semester I graduate. I'm actually in the process of looking at further school. I don't know what your topic is about, but also I got a little small food business. I own a little hot dog cart, like something you would see in New York.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to navigate because I'm surrounded by people in college that's job-based, my family's job-based, and it's like I'm the only one thinking business, and it's like I can't really get a team around me that's more business-minded to sort of to break that, and it's kind of tough going that way. And I know you push business and running your own business and stuff, because it's right. Sort of like I'm walking a line in this graduate program with regards to being in school, pursuing education, but also wanting to pursue my own business too. And it's sort of like I'm coming to the crossroads right now. I just wanted a little insight on
Brother, a lot of black folks get caught up in what their family will approve or disapprove of. I hear that a lot. And brother, your question is very unique. I get this question about once a week, especially when I do radio interviews. People are saying they want to do something. They want to start a business. They want to venture into something. And their family members are the first ones that's trying to shoot it down or sabotage it or not support it. And we got to get to a point where we are not concerned with a approval or disapproval from our parents to do what we need to do as adults. All you need as a business owner are customers. You don't need your family's approval to go out there and get your business. You should give less than a damn about what anybody in your family think about what you're trying to do. As a matter of fact, and I want everybody to understand this, when you have an idea for business or an idea to travel or an idea to create something or an idea to do something artistic, I would say don't tell nobody until you start getting things rolling. Because what happens is a lot of times you start telling some of your big ideas to small-minded people, and then they start sabotaging you with their small mind mentality, and that starts chipping away at you in the back of your mind. And that's what you don't want. You don't want anybody throwing salt on your idea before you bring it to fruition. So a lot of times you're going to just not only disregard any of their approval, don't even tell certain people certain things until you get it off the ground. You understand? Because people, when they're stuck in their ways, when they don't really have any vision for any change or anything like that, they're just going to project that onto you. So, dude, if I were you, I'd be the best hot dog slinging motherfucker in that area. I would have hot dog rims, spokes on my hot dog cart, flames coming out of it. I would decorate it. Man, I would do it so fly and so big. I would have hot dogs with free candy bars on Wednesday. I would, man, do it up and get your money, worry about your customers, and stop worrying about what your family think. You feel me?
Hey, I appreciate that. The last thing, like I said, it's kind of funny because, like I said, I'm in a graduate program. You got people talking about they want to be city managers, and I just told them, the class that graduated before me, some of them still struggling trying to find jobs. I told them, with this hot dog car, I mean, I can pay my bills and sustain myself until something else comes along or grow that out. But it's just like when you're surrounded by people who's job-oriented, not just family, but friends, everybody. I mean, I'm like the only one in my circle that's pretty much business-oriented as far as like going out and creating something for themselves and providing for themselves. It's kind of hard because, like you were saying, you can't really shoot these ideas out. You can't talk business to people that talk about jobs. And I see that so much, and I get forced to where I just, like you were saying, I got to be quiet. It's just like you get tired of talking about it with people because they just don't relate.
And another thing, too, with black people, we get caught up with prestige. For some reason in the black community, there's this prestige with having a good job. There's a prestige with working under a white person or a white firm, being associated with being under a white person. That's a carryover from slavery that we've had. I'm Massa Moore's slave. I'm Massa Johnson's slave. You want to live vicariously through the dominant society's institutions. Whereas having your own institution, that's looked down upon because you may or may not fail. But being in an institution that's owned by somebody non-black, that's something that's a badge of honor. So the thing is, in our community, we'll give props to a dude who's making $50,000 working for a white-owned firm, but you'll look crazy at the brother who has his own business. He comes home dirty every day, but that brother makes over $200,000 a year working his own business. He might be dirty every day, but he's making his own money, and that's his paper, and he ain't got no boss. So we got to change the way we're thinking. I'm looking at the dude with the dirt under his fingernails working the long hours who works at a little fish fry clearing over $100,000 a year. That's who I'm looking at. I'm looking at the brother who has his own plumbing company. His hands are dirty, but the brother made $150 last year. I'm looking at the brother who has his own extermination business, and he's clocking more money than the brother who's working at a white law firm. So we got to start changing our mentality and stop looking for this hood approval nonsense and just be about stacking that paper and owning something. You feel me?
Yeah, man, I appreciate that advice, man. Last thing, man, the fans, man, we need an old Mackey's package for the Black Friday, boss man.
Oh, well, I'm going to have one for Christmas, definitely. We're going to have one in early December. We're definitely going to have one in early December, and it's going to be off the chain, man. So be on the lookout for that, man. Thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, man. We got to be about stacking our paper. Stop worrying about this bullshit prestige. Let's stop worrying about that, man. Own something. Own something. In the hood, man, when you go to any kind of hood area, there's always that old dude that's very unassuming. Been driving that same Cadillac since 1985. Some old dude, you know, has his little jewelry, probably has a little S-curl with gray in it. He's going back and forth to his little business. That old dude probably has so much money stacked up. I know a whole bunch of little old dudes like that in LA. Got these little businesses, little mom and pop businesses, but they're stacking paper. Unfortunately, I know of some brothers like that who got robbed. There was an old elderly brother, man, a couple of years ago out in Inglewood, California, man. He owned, I think, a club or something. I can't remember exactly, but they cased that brother out, and they hit him up, man, and they robbed old dude. So little shit like that, we got to cut that out, too. When we see the black person who's the entrepreneur, some of the little dusty Negroes start targeting people like that, and we're going to discuss that on the Melanoid Nation site. We got the Melanoid Nation website. That's going to be up this week. It's almost complete. And the Melanoid Nation website, we're going to have news stories on every day. So I want everybody to share the news stories, and I will keep you guys posted on the Melanoid Nation news site, ladies and gentlemen. Some other stuff. We got to talk about that video that's gone viral of this guy. He's in church, and he's been delivered from being gay. This guy has said he's... The preacher brought him up front, and it looked like it might have been, you know, pre-orchestrated or whatever, but I don't know. But it's hilarious when you see it. And this guy, he stands up, he's clearly gay, and he has like this big old gold bow tie on, and he's saying that he's delivered, and he starts going on this rant about how if you haven't seen it, because this thing is going viral, I'm pretty sure many of you have seen it, but let me play the clip of the guy who's been delivered from gayness.
It's done right now. What did you come here for? What did you come down here for? Tell me.
To get delivered more.
Get delivered. Do you believe that the Lord tonight has set you free?
Yes, sir.
Turn around and tell those people.
Tell them.
I'm not gay no more. I am delivered. I don't like men no more.
My dude said, I am delivered with a T. I don't like men's no more. That's the funny thing about it. Hold on.
I'm not gay no more. I am delivered. I don't like men's no more. I said I like women. Women, 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 women. I said women. I'm not gay. I would not date a man. I would not carry a purse. I would not put on makeup. I will love a woman.
He can't even say it right. I will love a woman. He can't even say it, let alone get with a woman.
Good put on makeup. I will love a woman.
So my man just gets out and starts, you know, getting his little dance on, and it's a big spectacle. And it's like, what's going on in these churches? I did a show about that. I was looking at an episode of the Preachers of L.A. They had that other preacher, and I did a show about him the preacher who was on tape bobbing down on another dude, and nigga sucking dick 6 ways to Sunday. And they kept mentioning on the Preachers of LA, they kept mentioning the guy's, what's this? I can't think of his name right now, but they kept mentioning his sex tape. They wouldn't say it was a gay sex tape on TV, though. They would never say it was a gay sex tape, but they kept mentioning his sex tape and how he's going to be delivered. And then they got in a circle and put hands on her. I'm like, well, are y'all going to pray the dicks out of his mouth? I mean, how does that work? You dig? So there's this whole big spectacle that goes on, and that's something that's not talked about. A lot of these young men, and I've said before, being turned out in many of these churches, man. They go to these Eddie Long churches, and, you know, stuff in there happens. It's been happening for a long time, and a lot of people don't like to talk about that. Real heavy stuff. But my man was just naming off a whole list of stuff that he ain't gonna do no more. I will not wear halter tops. I will not wear t-shirts with the stomach out. I will not wear dress pants with flip-flops. I will not wear acrylics on my toenails with dollar bills painted on the tips. I am delivered. The dude just had a laundry list of stuff he ate. That's the funny thing. And in the video at the end, they gave him money. They started giving the guy money. The preacher gave him $100, and everybody else started giving him money. And now, you know, he got that money and right after church went and bought some KY jelly with it. This dude is not nowhere delivered. He don't like no women, but it's just hilarious how this goes down. And why is it that the dude kind of in the video, the dude sounds like Johnny Gill almost. It sounds like a Johnny Gill record when he starts screaming. Hold on. When you play a Johnny Gill record and compare it, listen to it. Hold on.
Like you never know. Do you feel
I will love a woman. Listen,
Man, wait a minute.
Hold just 1 minute.
Anyway, I digress. Let me get off that. But hey, that's very, very funny. You guys got to see the video. It's on WorldStar because the original video, it was on YouTube and the original video was taken off. It was made private. And there's a whole bunch of bait videos on the internet where people say, you know, this is the gay guy video. Then it's some dumb motherfucker talking, which I hate. I hate bait videos. But I digress. Let's see who's on the phone. What's up? Who's calling? Hello? I hate when y'all mess the flow of the show up and not say something when I'm saying hello. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, Terry? It's your boy, D-Ham. Coming from Kansas City, Missouri, bro.
There you go, man. What's on your mind, fam?
Hey, man. I'm at work, right? I'm on break. But during the day, man, every time I come to work, I see a lot of bad bitches at my work, at their job that I want to holler at, but sometimes I don't feel like the need to, but I just want to smash them. So what's your take on it?
Well, my thing is, if it's a situation where your job will not be potentially in jeopardy, then I say go for it. But if it's a female that's on your job and they work in an apartment that you work in, or they are getting their paychecks from the same person you're getting your checks from, or they have the same human resources department that's in your department, then I would say you got to kind of chill out a little bit on that, because you don't want nobody to, you know, the relationship goes bad and shit goes sour, and then somebody tries to be vindictive and then go to work and fuck up your money. Now, if it's a job that you ain't really tripping on, I say go for it. Like, you working at Walmart, you nigga, go ahead and fuck everybody in there. You dig?
I work at a call center right now, man. I make pretty decent money, though. Just get me by. Got me a car and everything. And I'm getting a lot of cooperations now that I have a whip. Because before then, I was just taking a bus back and forth to work every day. Now that I have a car, I get a little bit of cooperation.
Yes, indeed. But now you work at a car dealership?
A call center.
Okay. Oh yeah, there's a whole bunch of women in them call centers. Oh yeah. Those call centers are full of women, and they're real flirty. I know the game, man. My thing is, if you do, man, get with somebody that you can be real discreet with, because again, that sexual tension there at the job, you know, it's biting at you. You go to work, you see these women every day, y'all flirting with each other, and that sexual tension builds up. So if you do get down, because sometimes it's inevitable, because I can tell a dude, hey man, don't mess with nobody at work, but if you got some chick at your job looking like Sanaa Lathan who's giving you cooperation, you just might have to smash, you know, because
it's just like, man, I want to smash like damn near like the half the part, like half of the other department, though, because we have three different departments, right?
Right.
I want to smash, I literally want to smash the like at least like 10 or 15 broads from the other department, though, but I don't know how I would approach it, though.
And then that's another thing, because let's say you do smash one, which is a high probability. You smash one, mm-hmm. and then you smash another one, and then they start talking and comparing notes, and then they start hating and then conspiring against you, because that's a possibility, too. When you start banging one is one thing, but then smashing a couple of them, they work together and potentially know each other, that's a whole new hill of beans right there, brother. Because I've been with females that I didn't know they were friends, and I was smashing one, then found out that I'm smashing another chick, and they happen to know each other, and I'm like trying to be real cool, but eventually they get to talking, and they start tripping, man. They start tripping heavy. So you might not want to go down that road. But I would say, hey, man, since you're rolling, you got your whip. Start hitting them some other spots, man, and just campaign with some other ladies around town. Yeah, I mean, you got options now. How old are you?
I'm 23.
There you go. You're going to be good to go, man. So you all right, man. Thanks for the call, fam.
All right. Appreciate it,
yes,
man.
Indeed. Let's get a couple of more calls before we get up out of here, family. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, Tariq?
What's up? Who's this?
Yeah, this is Deontay calling out of Sacramento.
Deontay?
Yeah.
All right, what's going on up in Sacramento town, man?
Ain't not much, man. It's cool. It's just kind of slow out here. It's getting cold, and Kings is doing good, though.
All right, what's on your mind tonight, man? You got any questions?
What?
Dude, player. Hello? Did that nigga's boy toy holler at him in the background? Sound like it was another nigga in the bed with him. I could have sworn it sounded like a dude whispered in his ear. These two niggas laying in bed. God damn. First, this nigga called up sounding confused as hell. And I'm asking him questions. He's talking about the damn ball game. It sounds like some damn dude whispered in his ear. Now, we can't have none of that, family, man. If you're listening, dude, repeat this to yourself.
I am delivered. I don't like men no more. I said I like women. Women.
Now, there you go, nigga. Rebuke that damn spirit. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, Flex? This your boy, Mark from Georgia.
What's up, Mark from Georgia? How you doing, fam?
Man, I am doing fantastic, Flex. Now, you may remember me from a couple of shows ago. I'm the brother you had to hit him with the Keith Sweat. I was going to spend all my VA money on that chick.
What happened? Now, remind us what happened, because I kind of remember, but what happened?
Well, you know, she had that guy that was, she was texting, she didn't acknowledge me, and, you know, and I got a little upset in front of her about it, and she left.
And you were kind of cupcaking, and you were trying to get her back and all that old stuff, right?
Yeah, but she's out, you know what I'm saying? I met a new chick, man, going good for a minute, but then I post this chick picture on Facebook, her and I on the date. She don't fuck my little brother. 15 years ago. So what I want to know, should I charge her to the game?
Nigga, boy, you are the hoe magnet. Boy, you just nigga, you are a magnet for wretched whores. Good Lord. So we got to see what's going on with you, brother. What's happening? Why are you attracting all the ratchets, man?
Man, I don't know. Flex, that's the story of my life, bro. I get chick that has been sexually abused, mentally abused, and just reform whores. I mean, I'm a straight up guy. I did 23 years in the Navy. Got a good civilian job, man. I do good for myself. No kids, single.
Okay, what you got to do, man, it's time for you, bro, to start looking in a different pool for women. That's the thing, because you've been looking in the whole pool that you've been looking in from back in the day. And a lot of times we get set in our ways, and when we go out campaigning, we have a tendency to go to familiar spots. We run in the same circles of the people we kind of known for the last couple of decades, and then we keep running into the same problems if that circle and that well has gone dry. The well is dry. When you start attracting none but ratchets and skanks and hoes, the well is dry. That means it's time to go to another location and circle the well and see what you can find and find fresh water. And you're in Atlanta, right? Or in the outside of Atlanta? Where you at, bro?
Yes, sir. I'm in Macon, Georgia.
Macon, goddamn. You out there in the boonies, man. So what you need to do, you need to take you some trips up to Atlanta, because in Macon, it's a small town and, you know, there's going to be slim pickings there. So sometimes you just might have to take those weekend trips and just try a new batch of women, brother. But those Macon chicks.
I've been in the Navy. I've been all over the world, bro. I just retired, you know what I'm saying? So
I understand. I mean,
corporate whores. My last chick was a teacher. This chick is a supervisor. I mean, what the hell?
Dude. Just because a hoe has a good job, that ain't gonna make her stop being a hoe. Nigga, I don't know what people think that making more than $10 an hour is gonna make you stop hoeing. You know, some people just like being hoes. You were raised around ratchet hoes, and people just fall in ratchet hoe formation. So you want to get around people who have a fresh mentality. So what's going on back there, brother? Y'all got all types of shit in the background on today's show. What's happening back there, brother?
Oh, man, I'm sorry, bro. I'm washing dishes.
Okay. Nigga, you know you washing off of a Marie Callender's chicken pot pie. You ain't washing no dishes, nigga. You a bachelor. You ain't got no dishes, man. You got some paper plates and sippy cups and shit. All right, but, man, go to Atlanta.
Start. I just cooked the chicken stir fry, bro. I'm a chef over here.
Oh, there you go, man. All right, man, start hitting up places like Atlanta, and you're going to be good to go, man. Thanks for the call, brother.
Thank you, Blake. Take care, bro.
Yes, indeed. Well, y'all doing too much on today's show, man. Let me get one more call before we get out of here. One more call, ladies and gentlemen. What's up? Who's calling?
What's going on, Sharif? This is Chris from Southern New Hampshire, man.
All right, Southern New Hampshire. How you doing, Chris?
Not too bad. I just wanted to ask, what's your opinion about this whole Caldrick Donald thing going on in Florida with the shooting?
Now, what's the details on that?
I think it was a cop came to give a mother called the cops to
The guy, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, the young man, he was 24, I think, and he had like mental issues, and the mother would give him medicine. It was some kind of medicine that she would give him, a prescription, and she was having trouble doing it. And unfortunately, that sister called the cops, and black folks are going to have to stop bringing law enforcement into our business, because that just gives them the green light to blow our brains out. The cops took that young man in the back room and shot him, and I think that was very foul. And has anything happened to the police that did that?
I don't know.
Okay, I got to look deeper into the case. But again, black folks, and you don't sound black, by the way. What are you? What are you?
I'm white.
Okay. Yeah, I tell a lot of people, black folks, to stop calling cops, because as you know, the police, it's like a green light for them to use any excuse to attack us and kill us and murder us. Do you agree with that or not?
I do agree with that, yeah.
There you go. All right, man, but thank you for the call, fam. Hey, even white folks agree. So when you hear coons out here talking about what about black on black crime, white people know the game. Let me get one more call, because the calls are very entertaining tonight. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's going on, man? This is Nick from Savannah, Georgia.
What's up? A lot of Georgia calls tonight, man. I got to get back down there to Georgia to do a lecture, man. What's on your mind, man?
Not much, man. A long time listener, first off, listening to you about high school, man. I'm 23 now. I just got a real quick question for you, man.
Go ahead.
And I'm pretty sure you've dealt with this too, man, but how do you feel about when women, usually black women, call you uppity or bougie or say like you act white?
Those are hood rats. Only the hood rats do that. That's hood rat talk. And just like a dusty nigga, when they see a black woman who's articulate, like, you sound like you be fucking with them white boys.
Right.
That means it's time for you to upgrade and stop messing with hood rats and stop being around hood rats. Because if you start talking articulately and just being about your money and being about business, and people start talking about, well, you know, you acting white, or you look like you mess with white chicks or whatever, that's dusty hood nigga talk. And I don't even take that seriously. That means those are some people you need to charge to the game, and those are some women who feel like you're out of their league. You understand?
Okay. Definitely.
Thanks for the call, man. I haven't taken calls like this in a long time, man. It's good to talk to the listeners and see what's on their minds and see all the stuff that's going on out there. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's going on, man? It's T right here. What's going on?
What's up, T? Where you calling from?
I'm down south Louisiana.
There you go, man. What's on your mind, T?
Look, man, I work a lot, and you know, I'm real heavy on this, so as far as meeting, trying to chat with females online, trying to get any numbers. And I'm curious, since you always like, because I work a lot, and you know, sometimes I want to meet a female, but I ain't got my hair cut right, I ain't got my gear up the bar. Do you think it's necessary to wait like a month before you see a female to make sure everything is first impression wise, A1?
Wait a month?
Yeah. As far as, you know, making sure you're right, or should you just go ahead and meet her as you are, you know?
I'm trying to understand the month thing. A month after what? You got to put that in.
You know, you get a number, you know, and you find time to meet her.
Oh, dude, no. A month is, man, after a month, there's going to be about 3 or 4 dicks that have been in that woman's mouth after 3 or 4 months.
Oh,
I mean, that's
oh yeah, crazy. Yeah, wow, yeah, because, I had a situation where I was in the mall and I met a famous celebrity female, and she kind of wanted to try to approach me, and my gear wasn't up to par, but kind of was a lesson to always be on your point at all times.
Okay, yeah. So she was giving you some cooperation, so you met the celebrity female, so you met Gabby Sidibe, and she was trying to holler, and
it didn't necessarily work out. Like, I'm in the mall, and I'm smelling colognes, of all things, that, you know, and I had females coming closer to me, and she was smelling colognes with some two younger girls, and apparently she was on a college tour, and she said she was a singer, and I'm like, damn, are you from L.A.? And she's like, yeah, you know, I'm like, damn, you know, I make music too. So I didn't know she was a celebrity until I went home and I Googled her. But it was just, hey, I thought about the situation. I'm like, wow, you know, females, you know, at all times, you need to just kind of be on your game, because I was real bummy that day. And, you know, And I thought about it twice, you know, should I go to the mall, Bubby? And I just went in the mall, like, fuck it, you know. But it was a lesson, you know, be on your shit at all times, you know.
Absolutely, yeah, especially when you go out, man, because sometimes when you least expect it, that's when you can, you know, you run up on somebody giving you some real good cooperation. And unfortunately, a lot of times when you're looking bummy, you have less confidence in your game because you're worrying about if this person is going to look at your bumminess.
Exactly. I slid on my number, though, but I never got the call, but it just was a lesson, and you know, me becoming as a man, you know, I'm 28, so, you know, so it just definitely was a lesson, deal your shit.
Yes, indeed, be on top of your game. Now, who is this celebrity female, by the way?
Oh, man, should I put her out there like
put
that?
Put her out there, man, put her on out there like that. We all family, who is she?
Mila J.
Oh, yeah, Mila J. She's from out here. She's a fine chick, yeah. So, yeah, man, you give us some. You should have been cooperating, man. You probably could have hit that if you had your hair cut. You probably walked out the house looking moist or something. You probably, you know, so I want you to raise your hands and repeat after me, brother.
I am delivered.
Raise your hand, brother.
I don't like men no more. I don't like women. Women. I said women. I'm not gay. I'm not gay. Man.
There you go, man. All right, man. Thanks for the call, fam. Yes, indeed. All right, y'all. That's my time, family. I got to get out of here, fam. So anyway, man, the Melanoid Nation website, that's going to be up popping pretty soon. Well, this week, as a matter of fact. And also, I'm going to do a lecture screening out here in Los Angeles. If you are in L.A., come join me this Saturday. It's going to be early Saturday. This is going to be 12 noon Saturday afternoon in Los Angeles, in South Los Angeles. Go to TariqLive.com to get details and the address. It's a free screening. Some of the players are putting it together. A nonprofit organization bringing me down. They're taking care of it. So it's free to get in. Free screening of Hidden Colors 3. We're going to have a lecture question and answer segment afterwards. Nice and early. You can bring the kids in the whole nine yards. It's going to be real nice and real fly. And that's this Saturday. That is November 15th, ladies and gentlemen. Again, go to TariqLive.com to get more information on that. I am out. I'll see you guys Sunday on Ustream.